I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands and MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hey, this has been pretty fun to be able to come on here and react live to all the action, especially on a busy night like tonight. And, you know, watching currently as we record this or do this live here, the Mets, Alonso just hit a three-run bomb off of Tyler Matzik, who's a dude who talked trash to me a couple years ago after the Braves won the division. So I just hit him up on Twitter. So screw you, Matzik. Let's see if you got a response for that. Nice pitch. Pete just took you downtown. Now, do I think the Mets are going to come back and win the game? No, but still, it was at least good to maybe get Alonso going. Anyway, we got that going on, but I wanted to react live to the Rangers and Islanders game. Boy, I don't know if I can handle a seven-game series with the Rangers and Islanders. And right now, the way that it would shape up, it wouldn't be the Rangers-Islanders. Islanders have done themselves a nice job here, winning five in a row, getting themselves to the third spot right now in the Metropolitan Division. So it will be them and Carolina as it stood right now. Good for the Isles. You know what? Congratulations. I know I'm a Ranger fan, and we usually talk Rangers perspective, but good for the Islanders hanging on. Obviously, they need to work on the penalty kill, which has been an issue. Two bad penalties. Rangers score. And there should have been a third penalty at the end of the game. That was bullcrap. Trocheck was right, going nuts afterward. He clearly got shoved. And no call. Now, would it have been enough? Who knows? But the Rangers would have had the man advantage and the empty net and probably, what, 10 seconds or so maybe left on the clock? Maybe a little bit more than that. You never know. Crazier things have happened. But that was a bullcrap call or non-call at the end of the game. The Islanders get the benefit of the whistle there or the non-whistle, and they hang on and get the win 3-2 over the Rangers. But two things. Number one, good for the Islanders, showing some energy, showing some fight here under Patrick Waugh, closing out their season strong, making sure they get a postseason spot with five straight wins. Obviously got to finish it out here, but they should be in good shape. One more with the Rangers again coming up over the course of the weekend at the Garden, of course. But you give them credit for showing some resiliency, going through some tough times this season, firing a new coach, and looking like they are going to be a playoff team here and playing well down the stretch. Not a perfect team by any stretch, but playing well. So kudos to them. I'd love to see them in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a lot of fun with both the Rangers and Islanders in the playoffs. And I did want Rangers-Islanders first round. I don't know if I want that anymore. Rangers are better, and they beat them, and they showed you that. Rangers didn't get off to a good start. Obviously, the first period was a total waste. Not defending, not doing anything. Islanders get out to the 3-0 lead. Second and third period belong to the Rangers. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. The two power play goals, they just fell short. Like you said, it happens. But what I want to see the Islanders first round. And second round, maybe different story. You could work that out. You know, the deeper you get. First round, Rangers-Islanders. After the Rangers have maybe the best record in the league or the most points in the league, I don't know if I want that. Look, I love the symmetry with the, 30 years ago from 1994. I don't want that same matchup. I'm pretty sure I don't want that same matchup because I don't know if it would be the same result. It probably wouldn't be a sweep the way that it was in 94. Not that I'm scared of the Islanders, but I think the Rangers maybe could use a little bit of a softer landing, have a quick first-round series, not have to worry about a nasty rivalry until a little bit later in the postseason. Anyway, kudos to the Islanders for their fifth straight win. Rangers will be just fine. Even when they lose, they fight and battle back. That game could have got away from them easily, and it did not. So they battled. So a fun night on the island for the Islander fans. Now, the Yankees, with a solid win against the Marlins. I know it's the Marlins, but I'm not getting caught up in who the Yankees are playing. It's more about how the Yankees are playing. And you see Carlos Rodon, again, six solid innings for Rodon. So the fact that he's had now three starts to start the year have all been encouraging, as opposed to last year, what was disastrous. So I think those are great signs for the Yankees that they can, you know, and they're not just bludgeoning teams. Stanton, he would drive me nuts. You know, when he's hitting home runs like that, yeah, it looks great, but is it sustainable? No, but what is sustainable is Juan Soto getting big base hits, the Yankees doing what they do, putting up runs, even just the three runs making it stick. So I think it's a good thing. The bullpen with Hamilton, with Clay Holmes, it's good to see the Yankees win games in different ways. Could they mash you to death? Yes. Stanton grand slams, Judge home runs, you know, Soto going deep, Volpe doing it all. Sure. If Verdugo hitting the home run tonight to get things started, they could play long ball. Could they bleed you to death? Yes, they could. They could get guys on, get them over, get them in. They've shown that they could do that early on in this young season. And they could pitch. And while the starting rotation has not been lights out, it has been good enough and more than serviceable. It's been better than good enough. You know, Cortez shows that he can battle even when he doesn't have his stuff. Again, like we said with Rodon, that might be Carlos Rodon so far, his first three starts might be the most encouraging thing to come from this Yankee season so far. I expected Volpe to be good in the second year. Now, did I think he was going to be a superstar the way that he's playing right now? Maybe not this early, and he is playing like a superstar in this game. We talked about that yesterday. But I expected that. The Mets starting a little rally here. Mets in the ninth starting a little rally. Maybe this one's not dead yet. We'll stay with you to the conclusion of that one. But they make it now 6-4. Man on second, nobody out in the ninth. Dude, if the Mets come back again, Hoff, if the Mets come back again against the Braves, I know it's early and I know it's just two games. That would be unbelievable. I may have to change my entire tune about this team. Narvaez chipping in with a ribby double here. If the Mets come back, that would be something here. The Yankees, though, maybe the most encouraging thing to happen would be Rodon, because like I was saying about Volpe, I expected him to be good. Obviously, we all expected Juan Soto to be terrific, so that's no new development here. But the fact that Carlos Rodon has been good, solid, whatever adjective you want to use to describe him, that has to be encouraging for the Yankees. Knowing that Gerrit Cole, you know, he threw the other day, had played catch without any issue, that's a great sign. But knowing that you got Cole lurking and Rodon pitching the way that he has, throwing Marcus Stroman, man, that is the makings of a very solid rotation. All the question marks that I had about the Yankees coming into the year have kind of been answered so far. Now, again, it's way early, but, oh, is Volpe going to take the next step? Check. Is Judge going to be able to be healthy? Check. So far, he's been healthy. Is Rodon going to be out there, go out there and be solid, you know, to start the year off of last year's disaster? Check. What's Stroman going to be like? Check. Bullpen, check. Like, any of those question marks. Now, again, you can nitpick here or there. Rizzo, you know, the inconsistencies of Stanton, we understand that. Is Cabrera going to be able to hold up the whole season long? Who knows? That the TBD. But, you know, Verdugo, check. Some of the young guys got, you know, catcher situation. Have to figure out what goes on with that. Dominguez. But so far, I think everything has gone as well as you could have hoped for the Yankees, and they just keep on rolling. Even though they beat the Marlins by a run, you know, they won a game against a major league club, Marlins fringe major league club, but you get the point. A win is a win, and the Yankees should not be apologizing for any of the wins that they have. So, and they've gotten off to a great start. I mean, you can't have a better start than what the Yankees have had now, 10-2 on the year. And before you know it, maybe they get off to one of these starts like they had a couple years ago that everybody compares to 1998. And they start to pull away from the pack a little bit and send the message early on. I know Baltimore hasn't been playing great baseball. You know, 6-4 on the year. Corbin Burnes is a beast. And, man, imagine if the Yankees pulled the trigger on a trade for him. I know you love the idea of Spencer Jones, but Corbin Burnes in the Yankees rotation right now could solidify them as a favorite to get to the World Series out of the American League. They might be the favorites anyway, but if you think about what Corbin Burnes would have been, and you wouldn't have had to give up anything from the Major League roster currently, it would just be obviously Spencer Jones, which could hurt you for years to come. Mets down in their final out. They did come back here 6-5, two outs in the ninth. We'll stick with you here through the end of the game. Look who's up. Frankie, my guy Francisco. Oh, come on, man. This would be something to see Lindor just go deep here. Hoff, where are you? Chime in here. Are you watching this game with me?
Yeah. I'm not sure where you're at, but I just saw something. So tell me where you're at right now.
Lindor base hit. I just saw a little blue base hit for Lindor.
That's a start, okay, dude.
I'm watching on streaming here on the iPad, so I might be a little bit delayed. Woo! And here comes Pete. Dude, don't spoil it for me, Hoff.
No, I'm using my app too, so we're probably on the same thing.
All right. Right now I'm seeing Mendoza mess with his hat. Pete, you know Pete, when he gets hot, oh my God, if he went deep here, oh my God, I will come in throwing haymakers at BT tomorrow. Alonzo and Lindor aren't good enough.
Yeah, and you Pete guys gotta stop with that stuff.
What? Yeah.
You guys gotta stop with the Pete Alonzo. Listen.
I didn't do it. He did. He started that today.
No, but here's the deal. Like, everyone's idea of superstars are completely different. And I'm not trying to make it a Met versus Yankee thing, but when you are a Yankee fan and you have all of these, you know, perceptions of what superstars are, when you have, you know, the lifetime of just Mickey Mantles and Joe DiMaggio's, Mets fans don't have that. So I'm sorry, but Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso are two of the best Mets to ever wear the uniform.
Right. But do they need superstars, or can they just be good, productive, you know, at times all-star players? Like, I don't know what more people would want from Francisco Lindor. Yes, I get the good start. Like, he's been off to a horrific start, but he'll be fine. Same thing with Alonso. They'll be fine. They're not mega stars, but you don't need mega stars to win. And I'll tell you something else. Pete, it's a home run here. You know, like, that's as big as a home run as you could hit. He's got to do it, obviously. But
he's got to do it first. Well, listen, I mean, dude, he already cut the lead in half to make it 6-3 to begin with. So
how about the fight from this team, Hoff? How about the fight from the Mets? Down 6-0 to the Braves. Even yesterday, down 4-0 and coming back and winning.
In typical fashion, we would have gotten crushed. They never would have come back. Like, you got to think about this yesterday. Julio Teheran giving up those four runs. We won 8-7. We were down 6-0. We're down 6-5 with you know, a runner on, one out to go. I mean, that doesn't happen. And I'm not trying to say, oh, well, you know, the Mets are back. The Mets are real. But it's not the 0-5 start. And let's be serious. Guys around the league are you know, in 10 games to start the season off aren't fantastic right now. So
don't ruin it for me if you see it before I do.
Not ruining anything.
Shit.
No. You caught it.
That's hey, you know what? All right, it's so over. The Mets lose 6-5. Alonzo struck out. If you're listening to this tomorrow morning, you already know this, but you just heard us react to that live. Ah, that sucks. You know what? Good for the Mets, though, showing some fight. I'm not one of these guys who will, you know, hey, proud of the effort, but for this team that is nowhere near as talented as the Braves are, to fight the way that they have in these first two games of the series, I'll admit already, I was wrong about them. At 0-5, I had the Mets buried, dead and buried, and said they'd never see 500 again. Now, they might not see 500 again, but I was wrong to quickly dismiss them. And to see the fight, winning a game against Atlanta on Monday night, battling back from down 6-0 to make it 6-5, even in the loss, I think there are some encouraging things where a more talented Mets team last year or the year before, they would go away weaker to the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. Mets, show some fight, show some toughness. That's what you want from a team with low expectations, not a loaded roster going in, to show some fight and to show some toughness. That is something that I could get behind. Now, they better make sure they win one of these next two games and keep the good feel going, even if they just get a split here in Atlanta. You don't want to get buried before coming back home again for the weekend. Obviously, Doc Gooden number are going to get retired. But I think a good start to this series that many people, including myself, thought that this could be scary as far as the Mets getting buried early on. One other note on the Mets before we say goodbye. J.D. Martinez has to be shut down for 3 to 5 days because of lower back stiffness. My issue with it is this. It was clear to me watching J.D. Martinez in his opening press conference that he was not in good shape. And that bothers me. You're like, I don't know what he was doing. I know he's an older guy. I know he's just a DH. I know he's never been a physical specimen. But even for that, he looked like he was out of shape. I felt that. I said it at the time. And now here we are. It's been proven that he's out of shape. Lower back issues, sitting another 3 to 5 days, overall soreness. Put it this way. Mets aren't going to be able to rely on J.D. Martinez. You hope to get him healthy, and you hope that he could be what he once was, but not a good start for their biggest acquisition of the offseason. Nonetheless, good fight from the Mets. So, hey, what do we got off? Where are we at in the Knicks game? Fourth quarter, I know I kind of got caught up because I was, all right, Knicks are going to win that game. They're up 119-108 right now, late fourth quarter. What a crazy night. Mets lose in Atlanta. Yankees win yet again. They beat the Marlins. Carlos Rodon, very good. Islanders win their fifth straight game, beating the Rangers. No call at the end of that game was a bullcrap call. Trocheck should have gotten a penalty drawn, and the Rangers should have gotten on the power play there with seconds to go. Maybe, you know, something else could have happened there. Who knows? Late goal to tie it up. Good resiliency, though, by the Rangers, even after a rough first period. And the Knicks looking like they're going to beat the Bulls as they continue to try to get the best seed possible in the Eastern Conference. Now, 4 minutes to go. I shouldn't count that one as a dub, but up 119-108, the Knicks should be able to put that one away. Busy night in New York sports. All right, that does it for us on this edition of WFAN Daily. Make sure you download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hit us up. I promise you, we got the emails. We will get to a mailbag episode at some point this week. WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode. Enjoy the rest of your, what the hell is today? Tuesday. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you know, enjoy Wednesday as well. We'll see you later.